are listening to Real World News.
A critical look at the outcomes of COP17, Part 1. The United Nations climate talks that ended on Sunday in Durban, South Africa, did not mean any important progress in two main issues: developed countries' commitment to drastic emission cuts and climate funds for developing countries to adapt to climate change. The Durban agreements, which the rich countries' governments are selling to the world as great achievements, are a step backwards in the fundamental decisions made up and determined the very UN Framework Convention on Climate Change signed in 1992. Some of the outcomes of the COP, which ended 2 days after it was expected, is the agreement of a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol as from January of 2013. The protocol is the only legally binding instrument to tackle climate change, which forces only developed nations to reduce their polluting emissions. It is based on the UNFCCC's shared but differentiated responsibility principle and on the rich countries' historical responsibility principle. The extension of the Kyoto Protocol was one of the main demands of social movements and organizations that work for climate justice. The legal instrument is considered as fundamental to force developed nations to cut their emissions. However, the emission cuts so far proposed by industrialized countries are insignificant, if not non-existent. Scientists warn that the current pollution level could lead the planet to an average annual temperature increase of over 4 degrees Celsius compared with the pre-industrial era. Meanwhile, science shows that we should try by all means to limit the temperature increase to 2 degrees. Without emission cuts in line with science, the Kyoto Protocol becomes an empty instrument. Besides, the extension of the protocol was agreed on the condition that the Durban platform was approved, a new negotiating path to sign a new agreement no later than 2015, which would enter into effect in 2020. This deal would end up killing Kyoto. The new agreement would include developing countries, especially emerging economies like China and India, and many warned that it could be a system based on pledges instead of cuts obligations. What is more, the new negotiation process delays urgent necessary action to tackle climate change 5 to 10 years. The Durban platform shows how developed nations found a way around to get away from the obligations under the UNFCCC and the Kyoto Protocol in order to shift to a system that places the burden on developing countries. Rich countries have found this solution without ever having complied with their obligations like emission reductions, funding for adaptation and mitigation to climate change in the Global South, and technology transfer to those regions of clean development. Another important aspect of the Durban agreements is the approval of the Green Climate Fund in order to fund adaptation and mitigation to climate change in vulnerable countries. However, this fund is out of money, warns Environmental Federation Friends of the Earth International. Besides, over 160 civil society organizations from 39 countries exposed in Durban in an open letter that developed countries, especially the US, the UK and Japan, are trying to have transnational corporations and financial elites access the Green Climate Fund directly. Generally speaking, the climate COP in Durban did not reach any substantial agreements on emission cuts and climate finance, which is key to the most affected and vulnerable nations. Instead, action to tackle the climate crisis was delayed, and developed nations, together with corporate power, imposed the conditions needed to avoid their obligations and responsibility. There is nothing to celebrate.
You are listening to Real World News.